And what a blessing it is to be here once again at the Fundamental Baptist Fellowship in Benalla. And recently I've been looking at some subjects in relation to the, let's say, the fundamentals. And we are a fundamental fellowship, and we've been looking at the fundamentals, the basics of the Word of God as to where we stand in relation to the Word of God. So before we look to the Word, let's just ask the Lord's blessing in prayer. Let's pray. Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, again we give Thee thanks for the Lord's Day. We thank Thee that we can meet together this afternoon. We thank Thee for each and every one of these dear folks that love Thee and serve Thee and are very faithful in their fellowship, not forsaking the assembling of themselves together, as the manner of some is. And so, Father, this afternoon we do pray that you take the guest speaker hiding behind the cross, that no one be seen save Jesus only. And Father, help us to just look to your word, that each and every one of us might be uplifted in our most holy faith and drawn closer to yourself. We thank thee for this fellowship. We thank thee for the pastor and his wife. We thank thee for each and every one who's putting their back to the wheel, as it were, and getting the Word of God out, and the tracts that are being delivered, and the spoken word from mouth to mouth. And we do pray, Lord, that you would bring others in under the sound of your word. And we do pray, Lord, as this word goes forth, that others might be blessed as well as those that would be here. So, Father, we do pray you bless your word to our hearts in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen. Amen. Yes, the fundamentals and the basics of where we stand. And it's good for us to look at those from time to time. Sometimes we may get so tied up in other things and we forget about the very basics. And just before I get into the message, Vicky and I invited two professing Christians around to our home up in where we live. We'll not mention any streets and names. And we started talking to them about the basics. And where do you stand in relation to the rapture? What's that? I've never heard of such a thing. Oh, well, maybe your church doesn't teach that, but you believe in the Lord's coming again. Never heard of such a thing. I say, well, it's in the book of Revelation, it's in Thessalonians, it's all in the scriptures. And what about, what do you believe in this? I went through several things. We spoke for quite a long time. They knew nothing. And when I say nothing, they knew nothing. And we're hoping to continue to talk to them and show them the things from the word and so forth and so on. But I just wonder what some churches out there, and they go to one of the recognized churches, I just wonder what they're teaching. And it's good for us to look at the basics. And it's the basics that I want to try and get across to them. And Vicky said I was preaching, but I was just trying to get across the message to them. And we covered quite a bit of ground, but they still did not understand, couldn't accept it. And they were asking different questions, but, well, what are we going to do for the whole of eternity? I said, we will look into his face and thank him for saving us, you know, among other things. He said, I can't imagine doing that. Professing Christians, folks. Professing Christians. And so we need to pray for other churches that they teach the Word of God, because there's a lot of people out there believing they're saved, believing they're Christians, and they're on their way to a lost eternity. There's no doubt about that. Now, I'm saying all that, I've got a simple title. The title is Crucifixion. Yet it is a very profound truth, crucifixion. And I want us to look at it under four headings. First of all, the path to the cross, the person on the cross, the proclamations from the cross and the promise because of the cross. And we'll be looking at those very succinctly. We haven't got time to go into them in a lot of depth, so we'll look at them just briefly, if you like. Now, as we begin to look at our first point, which is the path to the cross, I just want to highlight how fickle, how capricious, and how mercurial people can be. I want you to turn to Mark chapter 7. That word mercurial is the same as fickle. I learned it last week and I thought I would put it in. So Mark chapter 7 and verses 11 to 7. Mark chapter 11, 7 to 11. Just to show you how fickle people can be. Mark chapter 11 and verse 7 to 11 says this. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches of the trees and strewed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest! And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked around about upon all things and how the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. And so here he was being welcomed almost like a hero. Blessed and Hosanna and so forth. And then when you turn over just to Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15 in the same gospel and verse 6. Verse 6 to 15. We'll not read it all. We'll just read the last couple of verses of this. And verse 12. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, What will ye that I do unto him, whom ye called the King of the Jews? Blessed Hosanna to the King of the Jews. And they cried out again, Crucify him. Welcome. Crucify him. See how fickle people can be? Then Pilate said unto them, Why? What evil has he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, Crucify him. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, he was afraid of the people, released Barabbas unto them, and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. And so you see how fickle people can be. They can change their minds very quickly. Hosanna, as it were, one day, and crucify him the next day. And here we see rejection. Rejection. It was a path of rejection. We're looking at the path to the cross. The path to the cross. First of all, he was welcomed. And they said, Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. Praise God, they're saying. And very soon after it, they're saying, Crucify him. Crucify him. Rejection. It was a path of rejection. Even in prophecy, we learn this. In Isaiah 53 and verse 3, it says, He is despised and rejected of men. It was a path of rejection. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. The rejection was made very clear when Pilate brought him out before the crowd. And they said in John chapter 19 and verse 14, Pilate says, Behold, your king. But in verse 15 they say, We have no king but Caesar. Rejected of men. And folks, the answer is still the same today. Christ is freely offered. And I know that you folks have offered tracts and handed out tracts and spoken to people. But Christ is freely offered, but the crowd still cries out, We have no king but materialism. Well, we have no king but mammon. Well, we have no king but self. That's what the Word teaches us. And he is rejected of men. The Pharisees rejected him. Away with him, they said. The people rejected him. Crucify him. His own disciple Peter rejected him. I know not him. Swearing and cursing, even though it was just for a season. And we know that Peter repented. And in a sense, it was a lonely road to travel. From eternity past, our Lord knew his destiny. He walked it alone, rejected by men, but esteemed by God, esteemed by the Father. And during those last 3 years, as it were, he had others that walked alongside him who encouraged him. But they could not enter into what he himself knew. He was alone in the garden when he prayed. Please turn to John chapter 7, just back a few pages, just so that I can highlight a couple of things here. You know, we are not Ruckmanites, and we believe that the Bible, when translated, came from letters written by different people, and the chapter divisions and the verses were put in by man. I don't think we will dispute that. Now, when you turn to John chapter 7 and verse 1, John chapter 7 and verse 1, sorry, John chapter 7, verse 53. What am I doing? John chapter 7, verse 53 says that every man went on to his own home or his own house. Now, if you were reading a chapter a day, that's where you would finish. But let's look at chapter 8, which is a continuation of this letter. Jesus went on to the Mount of Olives. Now, put yourself as if you were reading chapter 8 for the first time. Well, you would just read, Jesus went on to the Mount of Olives and early in the morning, and you think, well, that's very nice. He went on to the Mount of Olives. But when you read the two of them together, it says, every man went on to his own house. Jesus went on to the Mount of Olives. You see, he was alone. He was alone. He went alone to the Mount of Olives. And it's an unfortunate chapter division, I think, because if you're reading a chapter a day and you start at chapter 8, you lose a little bit of the content, if you like. You lose a bit of the emotion that's involved. Every man went on to his own house, but Jesus went on to the Mount of Olives. It's a bit different when you read it together. He was alone. He was alone on the Mount of Transfiguration, as it were. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone. And we know that there were a couple of disciples with him. But they heard the voice of God saying, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. It was a path of rejection, folks. It was also a path of surrender. A path of surrender. John chapter 19 and verse 6 says this. And when the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out saying, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. And they led him away. If you go down to verse 16, it says this. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. A path of surrender, folks. He allowed men to have their wicked way with him. And Isaiah 53 and verse 7 says this. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. They led him away. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Remember, this is God incarnate. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. This is the Son of God. This is God the Son, and they took him by force and led him away. It was a path of surrender. a path of surrender. The Lord of glory, humbly, mildly, allowed wicked men to have their way with him. They led him away like a lamb to the slaughter. Now I want you to turn to Matthew 27. All these scriptures are very important in relation to what we're looking at. Matthew 27. And I think I pointed this out before at another time, but I want to point it out again. So there you go. Matthew 27. And we'll look at verse 29. Matthew 27 and verse, well, let's look from verse 27 right through to 36. Now, we're not going to read it all. I'll just read parts of each verse if you like. Then the soldiers, the end of that verse, the whole band of soldiers, the next verse, and they stripped him. The next verse, and when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head. They bowed their knee. Verse 30. And they spit on him. Verse 31. And after that, they had mocked him. They took the robe. Verse 32. And they came out, and they found a man. And so it was right down to verse 36, folks. 16 times the word they is used. This is the wicked soldiers. And twice in verse 27, it talks about the soldiers and the band of soldiers. So 18 times it talks about these wicked men whom the Lord surrendered himself to. They spat on him. They led him away. They took his vesture off him. They put a crown of thorns on him. It was a path of submission. It was a path of surrender. And because of the surrender, the submission of the lamb to the slaughter, you and I, who are the sheep, have a great shepherd of the fold. Because he surrendered himself, because he submitted to the crowd, because he submitted himself to those wicked ones that led him aside. Psalm 22 and verse 16 says this, for dogs, I will not go into that word dogs, look it up or ask me later, for dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. It certainly was a path of surrender. This is God, God the Son. It would not be good for us to concentrate on what these wicked men did to our Lord. But let me say this, they could do nothing without his divine approval. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It was a path of rejection. It was a path of surrender. It was a path of suffering. And again, we don't want to go into a lot of details in this, but I'll do my best. And 1 Peter 2, verses 20 and 21 says this, for what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. He suffered for us that we should follow his steps. And again, we have no need to go into the details of the suffering, folks. But, and Leonie might be able to back me up on this, and if I'm wrong, tell me afterwards, don't shout out, okay? Again, we want to look at some of the things that our Lord went through, okay? I believe that there are several different wounds known in the medical world. First of all, there's a punctured wound. And that's the nails in his hands and his feet. That's the crown of thorns in his head. We don't need to go into the details. A punctured wound. Then there is an incision, an incised wound. The spear going into his side. Then there is a lacerated wound, the whipping. the whipping and the scourging. And folks, every time I think of that, I think of our Savior tied over a pillar and his back is torqued tight. And that whip of nine tails, as it were, would sink into the skin. And it would just wrench it off. And that's why the Old Testament says, my back was like a furrow. They just whipped and scourged him. A punctured wound, an incision wound, a lacerated wound. Then there is an abrasive wound. And that would have been when he carried his cross on his lacerated back. And when he was hung on that cross and plunged into a hole in the ground, and his back would have been an abrasive mess. Then there is a contused wound where they were punching him in the face and beating him and so forth. All these wounds our Lord suffered for us. Another way in which he suffered was when he hung on the cross, suffering in shame and ignominy. They stripped him and hanged him on the tree, the spotless, sinless Son of God. Acts 5 verse 30 says, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree, who was truly man and truly God. And so the path to the cross was one of rejection, one of surrender, one of suffering. Lastly, in this section, it was one of substitution. During those 3 hours of darkness, our Lord became sin for us. He was there in our place, folks. He was our substitute. He died that we might live. The Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Isaiah 53 and 6 again says, our sin was laid upon him. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. Barabbas was set free. And Christ died in his place. And folks, that is substitution. And Barabbas is a type of the sinner, if you like. He deserved to die. He was guilty of death. But he was freed from the penalty of death, and Christ died in his place. Likewise with us. We are guilty. We should die. But Christ died that we might live. Praise God for that. Just like us, folks, we deserve to die. We are guilty before a holy God. But Christ died in our place so that we might be saved, so that we might live eternally with him. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. So, the path to the cross was one of rejection, one of surrender, one of suffering, one of substitution. Now we look at the person on the cross. Who was he? Well, the book of Isaiah again, chapter 61 and verse 1 says this. Who is this? See, it's a good question. Who was it? Who is this that cometh from Edom with thy garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel. And we looked at the glorious apparel of our Lord over many months ago. He that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Who is this? Then in Matthew 21 verse 10, as our Lord entered into Jerusalem, it says, who is this? Matthew 21 verse 10, who is this? Some were shouting Hosanna, and some were caught on the hop, as it were, and they were saying, well, who is this? And folks, the person on the cross was none other than the Son of God. God the Son. John the Baptist again said, behold, gaze upon, look upon him. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Pilate says, behold the man, look upon him, gaze upon him, take notice of him. In type, Moses said, look to the one who is lifted up, and you shall live. And in the wilderness, he lifted up that brass serpent, and those that looked upon him lived. A type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is this? He is God. He is God clothed in humility. Philippians 2, 7 and 8. We don't need to turn to it. I'll just go through a couple of words. Verse 7, no reputation, the form of a servant, the likeness of men. Verse 8, in fashion as a man, humbled himself, became obedient unto death. That's who it is. This, folks, is the person on the cross. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. So, we have looked at the path to the cross. We have very briefly looked at the person on the cross. Now we look at the proclamations from the cross. First of all, there was intercession. Intercession. Again, we don't need to turn to these. You know them very well. Intercession. Father, forgive them. That's a prayer. Luke 23, verse 34. This was a prayer of intercession from the cross. He is interceding on behalf of others. Father, forgive them. And you know the Lord continues to pray. Prays for us. John chapter 17. He's praying for us. The great high priestly prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is now our mediator praying for us. Beseeching the throne of God for us and so forth. Intercession. Father, forgive them. Then there was a proclamation of hope. I'm speaking to the thief on the cross. Thou shalt be with me this day in paradise. This day, thou shalt be with me in paradise. It was a proclamation of hope. And folks, we can take that and grasp it. For those who accept Jesus Christ as Savior, for those who see him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, then there's the proclamation of hope. We shall be with him, as it were, not so much in paradise, but in heaven's glory. In heaven's glory. Then there was a proclamation of love. Woman, behold thy son. Behold thy mother, he says to John. John 19, 26. So there was a proclamation of intercession. A proclamation of hope. A proclamation of love. Then there was a proclamation of anguish. And he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. Why hast thou forsaken me? Matthew 27, 46. God cannot look upon sin. And Christ suffered the just for the unjust. And he literally became sin for us as he hung on that cross, bearing our sin in his own body on the tree. A proclamation of anguish. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I'm going to tell you something here. And I'm not saying that this is biblical truth. But I remember Willie Mullen speaking about this very saying. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And I don't know if you can actually disseminate God from Father. There was Jesus Christ, there was the Spirit, and there was the Father. But in a sense, Willie Mullen said, God cannot look upon sin. And he forsook his son on the tree. But his Father never forsook him. His Father could not forsake him. It's a thought. Don't ask me to explain it. I can't. It's a thought. Then there was a proclamation of physical suffering. He hath put him to grief. You see, Psalm 22, 15 says, my strength is dried up like a potsherd. Now, do you know what a potsherd is? Leonie, what's a potsherd? You're nodding yes. Right. In the old times, they put pottery in the kiln. And sometimes a pot would be broken. And a piece would fall off. And it would stay in there. And it would stay in there for weeks, maybe months before it's cleaned out. And that piece that was broken off, if you touch it, it's like dust. It becomes like dust. It's so dried out, it becomes like dust. And that's what the Lord is saying here. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. And my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And Jesus said, I thirst. It was a proclamation of physical suffering on the cross. Then there was a proclamation of ultimate authority. when he said, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." A proclamation of intercession, a proclamation of hope, a proclamation of anguish, a proclamation of physical suffering, a proclamation of ultimate authority. "Into thy hands I commit my spirit." He was omnipotent. He was all-powerful. He was in control, folks. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Our Lord Jesus Christ gave up his own life. It wasn't any soldier that took my Lord's life from him. It wasn't the Jewish people that took my Lord's life from him. Oh, yes, they had a part in it. They said, "Crucify him." They put him on the cross. But he bowed his own head and gave up the ghost. And then there is a proclamation of completion. A proclamation of completion. The greatest three words ever spoken. "It is finished." It is finished. Plans from eternity past, highlighted in all the offerings and the types and the pictures and the prophecies of the Old Testament. Finished, completed, accomplished, paid in full. It is finished. The path to the cross. The person on the cross. The proclamations from the cross. Very briefly, and I mean very briefly, I just want you to turn to the promise because of the cross. Time has gone. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And we know this very well. John chapter 14, verses 1 to 6. And again, here we have another unfortunate division in the chapters. Verse 38 is all about Peter. Jesus answered him, "Wilt thou lay down my life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow until thou deny me thrice." That would have been a sad ending to that chapter. But take out the chapter division. "I say unto thee, the cock will not crow until thou deny me thrice. Let not your heart be troubled." You know, that's what the Lord's saying to him. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." And again, I must relate what Ian Paisley says about this verse, right? When he says, "I go to prepare a place for you," he is not up in heaven as a carpenter preparing little houses for us to live in. That's what I hear some preachers saying. No, what Paisley actually thinks about this verse is, "I go to the cross that I might prepare a way for you to go to the place where I will be. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way?" And this is the promise. Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And folks, because of scriptures like this, we can take great comfort knowing where we are going. And who we will spend eternity with, our Lord Jesus Christ. The promise because of the cross, John 14 and verse 6. He is the only way to get to heaven. The true way to get to heaven. The only way a person can be saved through the Lord Jesus Christ. The path to the cross. The person on the cross. The proclamation from the cross, and the promise because of the cross. Let's pray. Our gracious God and our eternal Heavenly Father, we give thee thanks for the basics. We give thee thanks for the fundamentals. We give thee thanks for those things that each child of God should know. Even the children should know. Even the young people should know. And we do pray for others who are perhaps gathering in other churches today who never hear these things. And we do pray, Lord, that their pastors, their ministers, might minister to them from the Word of God. If not, I pray that they would get out and get into somewhere where they will sit under the Word of God Father, we thank you for this fundamental fellowship where the fundamentals of the Word of God is preached and taught on a weekly basis. We commit it to thee. We commit the Word to thee this day, praying that you would bless and undertake in our Savior's precious and worthy name. Amen. 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 Thank you, folks.